Last Supper. But before we go there, I want to go to Corinthians and read from 1 Corinthians 11:28. And as God is giving instruction through Apostle Paul, Paul has already talked about the bread and the cup being the emblems of Jesus Christ, his blood and his body. And then he says, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. When Jesus instructed the disciples to go down into the city of Jerusalem and meet a man and go to somebody's house, and the house is all going to be set up, he was not going to do the Lord's Supper. He was going to have the last Passover meal with his disciples. Now, the Lord's Supper didn't come as a surprise. That was planned. But he was going to do the Last Supper with his disciples. When we come to the Lord's Supper, this is the Last Supper because it was the Lord's Last Supper. He said, this is the last time I will do this with you. He was speaking in reference to the Passover meal that the people of Israel have been commemorating since Egypt. And until Jesus died, that was the only means they knew of getting close to God. In fact, they didn't get so close, but the priest that went into the Holy of Holies once a year to present the atonement offering, that was their way of getting close to God. And I think that was pretty cumbersome. I read somewhere that at the Day of Atonement, considering one lamb for every 15 people, there was something like 120 or 40,000 lambs that were sacrificed for the sins of the people. I'm delighted to tell you this morning that on this side of Calvary, on our side of Calvary, one lamb. One lamb. One lamb. And his name is Jesus. When we come to the Lord's Supper, we need to look at least three things seriously and reverently. We look within, we look backward, and we look forward. If there's ever a time that we should do some serious, relevant heart searching, it's in the preparation for taking the Lord's Supper. This is when, folks, we need to look through our hearts. We need to search our hearts. Paul says that we are to examine ourselves, not to discover whether we are worthy to participate, but to determine if we are partaking in a worthy manner and for a worthy purpose. No one merits the privilege of sitting at the Lord's table. The truth is, we are all sinners saved by grace. And we didn't do it. We, by God's grace, had the common sense and direction of our heart to say, Lord, I need you and I need my sins washed away, and I'm going to trust in you. That simple. By God's grace, we are given the privilege to become his children and have fellowship with him. This is a time in the communion service when we should take time to search our hearts. Get a good strong lantern or lamp or flashlight and get down into the dungeon, into the lower regions of your heart, into the cellar, into the basement, and start looking around, looking every corner and see what sin lurks there and what would be there that would prohibit you from entering into full fellowship with God the Father and God the Son. And while we're in there and while we feel these things, can we say,
can I just share something? I used to always think it was about sin, but it's also about recognizing the body and blood.
Yes, I'll get there. Where was I, folks? Oh, we're in the dungeon seeking out the corners. Yes. Looking for the sins. And it's this time that we need to examine ourselves. And we need to ask for forgiveness for those sins. Not that we're getting saved again. But we're being cleansed again. We're being cleansed. And you know, I know, there is nothing better than stepping into a shower after you have been working out in the field or in the garden or wherever. And you step out and you feel so clean. Well, I think that's very small compared to what we understand and receive from Jesus Christ when he cleanses our hearts and cleanses us from all unrighteousness and takes away those sins that have been hanging around. The psalmist's prayer is always appropriate as we seek to create a proper attitude for the observance of the Lord's Supper. Psalm 131 and verse 139, sorry, in verses 2 and 3, 23 and 24. Search my heart, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there are any wicked ways in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. And that way of everlasting is salvation. That way of everlasting is salvation for eternity that we can depend on, that we can rest in, that we can have assurance of. And that's where God is leading us as we walk with him. And that's where God will lead us as we take the time and the courage to search our hearts and seek it out. We need to look backward. This is the supper of memorial that is to remind us that Jesus Christ's death on the cross was for our sin. In Luke 22 and verse 7, the scriptures will tell us that Jesus observed the feast of unleavened bread called the Last Supper or the Passover, the last time Christ would observe this Jewish tradition because his time had come. He was ready. His time had come. Exodus chapter 12, where God gives the instruction to Moses in what to do, and there's an awful lot to read about this, and we're not going to read all about it. But in the first part of the chapter 12 in Exodus, he talks about the lambs that have to be ready, and they're not blemished, they're pure, they're the best of the flock. And that gives us an idea of what God wants. God doesn't want anything secondhand. He wants the best. He wants the best we can offer him, the best we can give him. And so in verse 6, we come to this and it says, take special care of the lambs until the evening of the 14th day of this first month. Then each family in the community must slaughter a lamb. They are to take some of the lamb's blood, I like this translation right here, and smear it on the top and the sides of the door frame of the house where the lamb will be eaten. That's pretty clear, isn't it? That evening, everyone must eat roast lamb with bitter herbs and bread baked without yeast. The meat must never be eaten raw or boiled, roast at all, including the heads, the legs, and the internal organs. Do not leave any of it until the next day. Whatever is not eaten that night must be burned before morning. Listen to this. This is not the way most of us would dress for a very important dinner. It says, wear your traveling clothes. As you eat this meal, as though prepared for a long journey, wear your sandals, carry your walking sticks in your hand, eat the food quickly, for it is the Lord's Passover. On that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and kill all the firstborn sons and firstborn male animals of all the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. Now, the Orthodox Jews, still to this day, commemorate the Passover in the same fashion. As it was done back there, the model was set in Exodus. It is continually being done today. But Jesus called this the Last Supper because he knew his time had come. Exodus reminds us that they would experience a redemption of obedience, that they would get out of the land of Egypt represents sin. They had to use an unblemished lamb, which was Jesus. They had to roast it all. They had to take it all. They had to eat it all. And do that in the house where the blood of the lamb is smeared on the doorposts. When Jesus talked with his disciples, and they went through the Passover. But then he talked to the disciples and he took the cup and he said, and the bread, and he said, "This is my body." He identified himself with the Passover emblems as the body and the blood of the Lamb had been sacrificed. They were instrumental in accomplishing the redemption of the Israelites as they left Egypt. So he would be sacrificed that he could accomplish the fulfillment of the new covenant. I'm glad we don't have to do the Passover. It just doesn't sit right with my whole being. And receiving communion, the emblems of communion, are in fact so much simpler. The Wycliffe commentary on this portion of Scripture says, "They were covered under the blood of the lambs and goats. It was God's plan for the moment." We heard that earlier. But when the right time was come, Jesus did what the law could not do. What the blood of lambs and goats could not do, in that the shed blood of Jesus would not cover our sins for a year, but the shed blood of Jesus washed our sins away. Hallelujah. Amen. They weren't just covered. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin, which is unrighteousness. Under the law, the sins were covered, but they weren't washed away. There's an old hymn that came to mind as I was preparing this message. In fact, there's a couple of old hymns that came to mind. And the chorus, God leads his, in the chorus of the hymn, God leads his dear children along. The phrase says, "Some through the water, some through the fire, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood." There is no salvation. We heard that earlier this morning. All through the blood, that's forgiveness. And this is what we celebrate today. There's a verse of another hymn, and I can't remember the name of it, but it seems to me we were singing part of it in an intercessory prayer meeting some weeks ago. And this is what one of the words of one of the verses said. "I have no other argument." So immediately it sets the scene in the courtroom. The accused and the judge. And the accused stands before the Father, the judge. And he says, "I have no other argument. I have no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me." That says it all. That does it all. Because Jesus covered it all. We should stand outside the walls of Old Jerusalem. In the Garden of Gethsemane. And we should try and enter the agony of Jesus as he committed to the cross on our behalf. And as he pleaded with the Father, he said, "If it's possible, if there is any other way we can accomplish their salvation, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. God said, no, there is no other way. It's your sin for the salvation of the world. Let's stand on the north side of the wall of Jerusalem, looking up to Mount Calvary. Let's look at the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. Have a look. We should let this experience inform, enlighten our hearts and our minds, stir our emotions, and sway our will. We must look back at Calvary if we are to receive the elements of the Lord's Supper into our minds, into our hearts, into our attitudes, into our ambitions. And thirdly, as we examine ourselves, we must look forward. By our preparation of the Lord's Supper, we proclaim the Lord's death until he come, and we are doing that this morning and proclaiming his return. The most glorious event yet to come is on the horizon. Now, just in case you're confused, I'm going to tell you it's not a new movie. It's not a new car being produced. It's not one of those gorgeous old cars restored like we saw in the parade yesterday. It's not a new actor being developed. It's not a new technological gizmo that we carry around. You know, this week we celebrated 10 years of iPhone. Wow. Maybe by the end of the next 10 years, I will be able to operate the first one. Yeah, a new actor. Maybe there's a new actor. No, John Wayne's gone. My hero's gone. Where are you going, pilgrim? I like the other line, too. Let's get moving. Daylight's burning. The most glorious event on the horizon is the moment the heavens will open. We'll roll back the scroll, and the Lord Jesus will descend with a shout, with the trump of God, and with the archangels. Amen. 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 Folks, that's the most glorious event that we wait for. And we're out of here. We're done. We're gone. We're gone. I don't know if we're going sideways or straight up, but we're gone. And that's why it's so important that we know Jesus Christ as Savior, because that's the ticket to get on the bus or the plane or the rocket or whatever it is. That's the ticket. That's our passageway. That's our rite of passage to know Jesus Christ as Savior and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. With the Apostle Paul, or Apostle John, sorry, we soon look forward and say, even so come, Lord Jesus. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, John says this, yes, dear friends, we are already God's children, but we can't even imagine what it'd be like when Christ returns. But we do know that when he comes, we will be like him. For we shall see him as he really is. And all who believe this keep themselves pure, just as he is pure. I think that's as simple and as plain as I can make it. Let me take a moment to give you the opportunity. If you haven't met Jesus Christ as Savior, but this morning you'd like to meet him, just say, Pastor, that's me. All right. All right. Yes. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. We'll talk to you later. Amen. Father, thank you for these hands raised that represent lives surrendered to you. Thank you, Lord, for these individuals that have put up their hand and say, Lord, come and wash me anew. Wash me fresh this morning. Make me clean. Make me acceptable in your sight. Let the blood of Jesus be applied to my heart and my life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to partake of the communion.